Good evening, Queen's Club. I hope everyone is doing well. I'm going to give you guys a minute to come in. I have really enjoyed watching the assessment thread in Queen's Club this month. I think it's been awesome to see you guys assessing and leveling up and taking a good look at your day and your week and figuring out what you can improve on. I think it's an awesome exercise and one that's very well worth, taking part in. So here's how this is going to work tonight. I'm going to talk for just a little bit about assessments, and then we'll do a little bit of Q&A at the end. And I am probably going to ask you all to participate in this little master class as well by asking you to throw some things in the chat. So I might ask you a question. You throw a, an answer or suggestion in the chat and I'll read them. And if you have questions as I go through what my little presentation, feel free and post them in the Q&A, because that's where I'll look for questions. And then if you have any questions at the end, I'll go through them as well. Okay. So let me know if you don't mind that you can hear me okay. And I'll go ahead and get started. Move this a little bit closer to me so that everybody can hear me. All right. So the topic tonight is how to assess your eating in a way that identifies the small things, okay? And this was all, I have to give Rachel a big shout out, because this was all inspired by a post that she made. I think it was either, last month or even the month before. So I'm going to read you the best parts of her post. She said, "As my weight has come off, I've had periods where weight loss has slowed or even my weight has crept back up. This is due to a combination of my actions and weight loss generally being slower once you get closer to goal." So the first thing she said she did was that she reset her goal to generate a new outlook and motivation. I love that. Y'all know, I mean, it's well documented on the podcast. I talk about it all the time. I love the book Finish. And I love how he talks in the book Finish about resetting your goal. You can cut it in half. You can extend the period. You can do whatever. Because the important work is not in attaining the goal. It's what you learn about yourself as you're pursuing the goal. So the first thing Rachel did was she reset her goal. I love that. And then she said, I'm using air quotes, cleaning up around the edges. So she went back and she took a look and decided she was going to have fewer nights that she drank. She was going to write no grab assing on her plan. She was going to assess every day. And then she was going to try some new stuff. She was going to try days without snacks, changing portion sizes, new exercise minimum baseline, and some other things. And so that's a great post, right? The fact that she went back and she made all these decisions was exactly what she needed to do. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to talk about the nuts and bolts of a really great assessment, because you have to have an assessment in order to make sure you know what the next steps are. So why is assessment important? Okay. Because we forget, right? We can go all week long making our plans, but if we don't assess anything, we don't write down what we did, we're not going to remember everything. We're not going to remember, the little grab ass here and there while we were cooking, or the trip by the candy bowl, or whether or not we got our water in on Tuesday. We're not going to remember any of that stuff unless we are intentional about writing things down and taking notes, right? You also don't remember the successes. You don't remember, those things that you want to reinforce so that the next day you build on it, right? So you don't remember the successes or the learning opportunities that you experience that day or week or whatever time period you're assessing. When we remind ourselves of what went right, we can keep doing those things. And when we remind ourselves of what didn't go right, we can decide what we want to change. Okay? So the prequel to the assessment is the journal, right? So in order to do a proper assessment, you have to write stuff down. So here's your first assignment. Put some stuff in the chat you think you need to write down so that you can do a proper assessment. All right, go. I'm going to get you started. Your food, right? What you actually ate. Sorry, I just got a text message. All right, what else? Sarah says water, yes. Christine says the time I ate, yes. Water, sleep, hunger scale, yes. Hunger scale every time you ate something. The hunger part of it and the satisfied part of it. Both sides of the hunger scale. Off-plan eats, yes. Got sleep, exercise, physical activity. Exactly. You guys are doing great. I'll add a few more. Every single BLT. How many of us, raise our hands. Seriously, how many of you test taste while you're cooking? Right? Somebody said, Christine says, was I mindful when eating? That's a great thing to make a note of. How about booze, beers, wine, planned or unplanned? How about your attitude, your mood that day, how you felt, right? You can start to see trends with your eating based on how you feel, right? Because think about the model, right? You have a thought, then you have a feeling. And then you have an action, and the action is eat or overeat or choose not to eat or eat to your two. So what feeling preceded all of those actions? And of course, you want to write down your victories. Kathy said, each night I write down what went well that day. Yeah, yeah. So these are the kinds of things. This is where you take it to the next level. You don't just write down what you ate. You write down your hunger, how you felt about it, how it felt to leave food on the plate, your movement, your alcohol, your stressors for the day, what went right. This is how you take that to the next level in your journaling. So you also want to write about any urges you had to overeat, okay? And they could be whether or not you ate, all right? We have an urge to overeat, then we decide whether or not to eat, right? But you want to write about those urges. You want to write, you know, if you feel the desire to eat, you want to write what thought triggers that desire. If you feel the urge to eat off plan or to have a binge, you want to find the thought that triggers that binge. That's all part of this assessment piece, you know, because think about the model again, right? You have a thought that maybe it's, I'm having a terrible day, that leads to the urge to eat, that leads to overeating, all right? So what if I'm having a terrible day, or I'm super tired, or I hate my boss? What if that comes up for you every day? You won't know that unless you journal about it, right? And you also write down about why you're taking your foot off the gas and where those thoughts are coming from. One other thing I think you should write down is your commitment to your goal. How committed are you to your weight loss goal, right? What was your commitment level that day? You know, give it a scale of 1 to 10. I was super committed to my plan today, or, you know, by 8 a.m. I was off plan, so I wasn't committed at all. Look for those trends as well. All of these things are part of your assessment. They paint the picture of where you are today, all right? So you take that picture and then you dial up your future self. Some of you have names for your future selves, but you each have an idea of what your future self looks like, right? She has a weight. She has a pant size. She does certain things. She acts a certain way. We all have our future self in mind. So you decide at that point whether or not she's worth cleaning up the edges. Okay? How bad do you want to be your future self? So you look for trends. Maybe you notice that you get grab-assy when the kids come home from school, right? A lot of people do. They have that 3 o'clock witching hour where they're transitioning from work to kids to home to figuring out, you know, what's for dinner, and they grab a snack or they stand in the pantry. Maybe you notice you test taste when you cook, or that you've added things back to your protocol that you need to be planning as exceptions. Okay, that kind of stuff happens after you've lost some weight. You get a little complacent sometimes, right? So this is where you get honest with yourself and watch your brain throw a fit. Okay? You know, I've started exercising. Like, what if you say, what if your example is, I've started exercising, that means I need more food, right? Is that really what that means? You know, that's where you start to question those thoughts. You look for those trends. When you're overeating, when you're assessing, you look for those trends and those thoughts that are taking you a little bit off plan, or adjusting that protocol to include French fries every night. Are you really need French fries every night? You know, what in your protocol, what in your food journals are you seeing that didn't used to be there, that doesn't need to be there, that you've, you know, let kind of ease back in? So you, like I said, you get honest with yourself. You start telling yourself the truth and you watch that brain start firing up those thoughts again. It's not fair. I don't want to have a plan every day. I used to be able to eat French fries every day and I can't anymore. You just let it rip, right? You listen to it. You decide if that's what you want to think. Then you either keep the French fries or you decide your future self is worth giving them up, right? You decide if the French fries or the ding dongs or whatever it is that's crept back in is what you want, or is it that extra 10 more pounds? Or is it, you know, the, what is it, Corinne's 30 minute 5K? You know, what is it, right? This is where you make that decision point. You know, is my protocol clean? Is my assessment good? Is my hunger scale right? You know, and if it's not, is it more important that you eat to plus 3 every night or eat French fries when you want to? Or is it more important to lose that last 10 pounds or to bust that weight loss plateau? So here's what you do, okay? Here's going to be your action steps. There's 4 of them. And I picked these up. These are really cool. I picked these up in a seminar that I went to about a whole different topic, but I think they apply here and I think they apply really well. You define your win. Okay. So that's your goal. You establish non-negotiables. You anticipate obstacles. Then you cut yourself some slack. So we're going to go through these 4 things because I think they're really awesome. So defining your win. What's your decision going to be? Is it the French fries or is it the extra 2 pounds? Is it the ding dongs or is it the future self? Is it eating to plus 3 or 4 at dinner time every night? Or is it that, you know, busting that weight loss plateau, that stall that you're on, right? You get to make that choice. Now decide what it looks like. Okay. Is it the number on the scale? The 10-minute mile that you run, pant size maybe, you know, you get to decide what that final goal is. That's your win, okay? So define success on your terms and achieve it by your own rules. Ask yourself this question. If you don't know what that win is, ask yourself this question. What's my unique desire? I love that question because we all are so unique and we all have our own future self desires, right? I'm at goal weight, but that doesn't mean I can't apply this to somewhere in my health world, whether it's exercise. Maybe I want to lose 5 more pounds. Maybe I want to hydrate better, right? This time of year, my skin gets so dry. My unique win might be 100 ounces of water a day rather than 80, right? So figure out what your unique desire is and define your win. Make it nice and clear, okay? A goal needs to be measurable, all right? Then you establish your non-negotiables, okay? These are your constraints. These are the things that you absolutely will or will not do to meet that goal. All right, so here's your next assignment. Put in the chat what some of your non-negotiables are. All right, while you're doing that, I'm going to tell you what mine are. Okay? In the food realm, I don't eat bread. I just don't. It's not necessary. I'm going to Burger Republic tonight after this call to have dinner with my husband. And I'm going to have a hamburger, but I'm not going to have a bun. It takes up too much space in my stomach, and I'd rather have the burger. Plus, the processed flour doesn't agree with me. Okay? So I don't eat bread. I just don't. Unless it's like a super special occasion, and I'm out, and I'm at a bakery, and it's, you know, and it's planned. I bet in the past 5 years, I can count the number of times I've actually eaten bread on one hand. And that's no joke. I make sure another non-negotiable for me is making sure I have a healthy fat at every meal. Okay. It could be an avocado. It could be guacamole. It could be cooking my vegetables in olive oil. It could be bulletproof coffee. It could be full fat dairy, but I have a healthy fat at every meal. Okay. My body needs that. How old am I? 53? Is that right? I'm 53 years old. My skin's drying out. My hair's drying out. So I need that healthy fat. Plus it lubricates my joints. Another non-negotiable food wise for me is no coffee after 3 o'clock. This girl needs her sleep, and I don't sleep that well sometimes. So I know I can't have any coffee after 3. I usually say 2, but it's an absolute no after 3. Other non-negotiables for me are meaningful exercise 5 times a week. I call it meaningful because I have a definition of what's meaningful. Okay? Strolling around the mall is not meaningful exercise for Kathy. Is it for someone else? Sure, but not for me. Other non-negotiables for me, I do a 24-hour plan and I write my food down every night. I assess every night. I say, if it's only if I say I was on plan or off plan, I assess every day. Another non-negotiable for me is quality time for my family. Okay, I have to build in time for Mr. Kim, right? And then I have to have clothes that I love wearing, okay? So clothes that feel good, that are soft, that are comfortable. Clothes that I love wearing, that's a non-negotiable for me. Let's see what you guys have. No deep fried. That's a good one. Oh, this thought, thinking I can't do it, is a non-negotiable. That's beautiful. Not willing to starve. Good. No sugar, no flour. Don't eat fried food. I don't have juice. Denise, that's me too. I don't drink fruit juice either. If I don't love it, I don't eat it. I love that. That's great. I'm that way with certain foods like French fries, right? I'm picky when it comes to, if I'm eating exception foods, it better be something I love or I'm not eating it. I used to have a coach, Jane. Some of you have met Coach Jane, who used to say food had to earn its way into her body. I love the way that sounds, don't you? It's like she already knows so much about how her body reacts to certain foods that some foods are just not going in because her body doesn't react well. Weight training 3 times a week and Pilates 2 times a week. That's a non-negotiable. It's going to happen. Sweat every day in one way or another. These are great, guys. So you get the point, right? Establish your non-negotiables. Those are the things. That's the commitment to yourself. The things you know that you're going to do or not do or say to yourself or not say to yourself. So you be clear on what's important to you. What do you need to plan or invest in today to produce results tomorrow? Christine, you have decided everything is negotiable. It's not. If you make a list, I challenge you, Christine, to make a list of 3 non-negotiables and post them in Queen's Club. Now, everybody who listens to this is going to know that you've gotten this assignment. Anyone else who listens to this after the fact that says, oh my gosh, everything is negotiable, your assignment is to find 3 things that are non-negotiable. I bet you get up every day and take a shower. That's a non-negotiable for me, right? I'm going to get my water in every day because my body needs it. That's a non-negotiable for me. Okay, so think about that. All right, Christine, there's your assignment. I want to see three things. All right, next step is to anticipate obstacles. All right, this is where you plan for roadblocks, for obstacles, right? So you, let's see. You know that tomorrow the boss is going to come in with donuts, right? So you're planning how you're going to react to the donuts, right? It's going to happen. You already know that your brain is going to go, you know, crazy about the donuts. Why can't I have one? I need to have a donut. He brought them in. I don't want his feelings to be hurt. Everyone else is eating donuts, all those things. So you think about it ahead of time. You think about all those excuses. I would even get a piece of paper out, put a line right down the middle, write all those excuses on one side, and an answer to every single excuse on the other, so that you're ready when the donuts come in to answer every thought that comes into your head. Okay, let's practice. If the thought is his feelings might be hurt if I don't have a donut, the answer is, I can't hurt his feelings. If the thought is, somebody might say something if I don't have a donut, then the answer is, so what? They can say what they want. I don't, you know, I didn't plan a donut. You see what I'm saying? So you write down the excuse and you write down the answer and you get yourself prepared. Then the next thing you do is you visualize the whole event. Because your brain can't tell the difference between a visualization and it actually happening. It thinks you've already practiced. So instead of walking into the kitchen for the first time, seeing donuts and going, oh my gosh, I don't know what to do, you've already made a plan. You've already decided what thoughts are going to come up and how you're going to answer them. And you've already visualized all of this. So you walk into the kitchen with the donuts confidently because you already know how you're going to handle it. You've already planned how you're going to handle it. And you've already done it once through visualization. It's a beautiful, beautiful way to look at things. In fact, tomorrow, I think Betsy is going to talk some more about visualization on a Q&A in the tribe. So y'all should catch that. So that's the third step. You anticipate the obstacles and you go into it with a plan, right? The last step is give yourself some grace. Okay. I love the way that sounds. I love doing that for myself. Give yourself some grace because you're going to make mistakes. Things are going to happen. I want you to remember that every mistake is a learning opportunity. If you have that thought, it neutralizes the shame about the mistake. Okay. And in this case, of course, the mistakes we talk about are overeating or over drinking or going off plan, right? But every single action starts with a thought. So if overeat is in your action line or overdrink is in your action line or went off plan is in your action line, it was preceded by a thought and a feeling. And the way you find those thoughts and feelings are the recovery worksheet, right? Because the recovery worksheet has you do a thought download. It has you look at the thought download and find, you know, that thought. It asks you if you resisted and what did you say? It asks you, did you react? How did you react? Did you try to sit in comfort? And what did you learn? And then the best question on the whole worksheet to me is, what will you do next time? Because that kind of goes back to anticipating the obstacles. You're not going to be perfect. I'm not perfect. None of the other coaches are perfect. But even being imperfect, we made it to goal and we stayed there. Right? There's fluctuations here and there, but that comes back to assessing, right? If I gained, let's say I gained 5 pounds over the holidays. If I kept good notes over the holidays, I could go back and see where those 5 pounds came from. And those notes would be everything from hunger scale to BLTs to all those things that we listed at the beginning of this class. So I want you to be firm in your resolve and your commitment to yourself, but flexible as well. And when I say flexible, that's where the giving yourself grace comes in. I want you to allow yourself to move and learn and redirect until you find the secret sauce. Your secret sauce, your unique recipe for losing weight. And the only way you do that is through your assessments. It's by redefining your food protocol. It's by redefining your hunger scale. It's by looking at all of those things that create an eating event for you. I love this quote. To succeed, we must become excellent students of our own failures. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that awesome? I have really embraced the term failure. Y'all, my vision board over here has at the bottom, I'm willing to fail repeatedly to meet my goals. Think about that thought. Isn't that awesome? I'm willing to fail repeatedly to meet my goals. So I ask you, what are you willing to fail at in order to meet your weight loss goal? Right? What are you willing to fail at in order to meet your weight loss goals? Put some stuff in the chat if you want. I'll read you what mine says. I'm willing to fail at decision making. What if I make the wrong decision, right? I'm willing to fail at leaving food behind. I am a member of the Clean Plate Club, so I have to fail repeatedly at leaving food behind or not leaving food behind. And that's some of the work that I do, right? Tracy is willing to fail at being perfect. Yes. Yes. Let's see. I have some questions over here. New donut shop in town that looked terribly sweet and loaded with calories. I refuse to try them. Don't need or want to know what they taste like. Why not? You can plan a donut. Then they don't call to me. It's worked for 5 years. Well, if it works for you, that's fine. But, you know, restriction sometimes doesn't work for people. Okay, if you guys have questions, I want you to go ahead and post them in the Q&A. And I'll go back through here and see what everyone else is willing to fail at. Sarah's willing to fail at her hunger scale. Yes, 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 yes. You have to blow past plus two to figure out what it is, right? If you're tiptoeing to the hairy edge of plus two, you're never going to find it until you hit plus three. Okay? And you won't know what plus three feels like until you blow past that. Okay? Kathy is willing to fail at distracted eating. Yes. Good. Christine's willing to fail at weekends and being alone with food. Right. So when you say you're willing to fail at weekends and being alone with food, what that means is that you're willing to accept that you have failed at it and that you're learning from it. It's such a great concept. Willing to fail at doing the model perfectly. Yes, I think that's Missy Shea. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else? What else are people willing to fail at? And I don't have any questions. I must be super good at doing my assessments talk here. Leslie says, one, do mistakes, neutrality, just become excuses to continue behavior when you decide that it's okay. Right? You decide it's okay to make that mistake repeatedly. I want you to remember that every food decision, every time you eat, every time you take your fork and you put food in your mouth, that's a conscious decision to eat. Okay? So when you decide it's okay to eat, that's when, you know, you've accepted the excuses. What else do we have here, guys? Anybody else willing to fail Does anybody else have a question? I feel like I'm really good at forgiving myself, but not so good at learning from it. How do I take the next step? I want to know why you're not good at learning from it. Are you journaling? Are you leveling up? You know, maybe that's the key for you. Maybe you forgive yourself, but you don't take that little level up next step, right? Ask yourself, what can I learn from going off plan today? What can I learn from overeating today? Well, what happened? What will I do next time? I think that's the most important question on that recovery worksheet. What will I do next time? How can I change this for next time? Got somebody else willing to fail at being perfect. That's me, guys. I need to be willing to fail at being perfect. Kelly says, I'm concerned I'm not allowing myself to fail and am being a perfectionist. I haven't gone off plan in a very long time. Well, I don't know what's wrong with that. What's wrong with not going off plan? Right? You know, you don't want to, what I want you to do is accept that failure is going to happen and that failure is possible and learn from it. But you don't have to fail on purpose in order to learn something. I bet, Kelly, if you did a really, really tough assessment on yourself, a really, really detailed assessment, and you did all those things, that there's probably some places for you to level up. I could go through this list right now and find places I need to level up. Let me go back to my list. Water, y'all. I can't seem to get my water in, especially since I'm working from home. It's like I sit at this desk and I forget to drink. So I know I need to level up my water. I know I'm failing at getting my water in. Sleep. I guess I think since I work from home now that I don't have to go to bed at night. But I do, right? I do need to go to bed at night because I'm still getting up at the same time. So there's two of the basics Kathy is failing at this week that I know I need to level up on. So what do I look at, right? I look at my thoughts. I look at, why am I not going to bed? Why am I not getting my water in? And then, you know, I see how that thought needs to be leveled up. What action can I take to get those things done? Like 9 o'clock, maybe I need to set an alarm on my phone that says, you better go upstairs or you're going to feel like crap tomorrow, right? So start journaling more items and being honest with yourself about what else is going on that you can level up with. Missy, how do I differentiate between allowing changes to my protocol and allowing negative choices? Well, I want to know why you think allowing changes to your protocol is the same as allowing negative choices. I think I saw a post about this with you. What Missy is doing, Missy's reached goal, so she's trying to decide if she can or wants to change her food protocol. Perfectly reasonable thing to do, right? But what it's going to boil down to is introducing things to see if they make a difference. What you have to do, Missy, is stay present and honest with yourself about whether or not the food you reintroduce makes you feel good and creates the results that you want. And you do that through assessment. So let's say Kathy wants to reintroduce bread, all right? So I start eating bread every day at lunchtime. Well, how did that affect my hunger? How did that affect, you know, both ends of my hunger scale? How did that affect my weight? How does it affect my thirst? How does it affect how my body feels? You know, those are the things you do to assess, right? Those are the things you do to take it to that next level, is you do all that assessment work based on how that food made you feel. So be careful what you think about when with regard to negative choices, all right? adding things back into your protocol doesn't mean that they're bad choices. Because your protocol is your own protocol. And she says, I feel like allowing things is the opt-in is the opposite of leveling up. That's a thought. What if you're allowing back in cauliflower? Or mushrooms? Or clams? You know, maybe they weren't on your protocol before, but you want to try something new. Right? It's all in how you look at it. It's all in your thought about what you're adding back in and what you're allowing back on your protocol. All right. What other questions do we have? I'm going to check the chat again, see if you guys are talking about anything over here. Feels like cheating. Missy, you need to get on a call, girl. It's only cheating if it's not on your plan. You decide what's on your protocol and what's an exception. Okay? When I came home from the Stop Overeating Masterclass about 3 or 4 years ago when I went to Life Coach School, I said, Ken, what do you think about trying this no sugar, no flour thing? It's supposed to make my joints feel better. He's like, okay, I'll do it. But I'm not giving up beer. I said, well, it's your protocol. So he wrote his food protocol. And he put a beer every night on his food protocol that he was going to allow that. Now, he doesn't have a beer every night. But that's just what he decided. And he lost weight. Now, I'm not saying you're going to lose weight if you have a beer every night. What I'm saying is, you get to decide what's on your protocol. You get to modify your protocol. And you get to decide if your protocol is creating the weight loss results or weight maintenance results that you want. Denise says, why am I not seeing the chat conversation? Can someone tell me what to do? Well, you just posted in the chat. Can you not see what's in there? Kelly says, good point. I have failed at sleep several times. Tammy, where are the recovery sheets located? If you'll go onto the website to the No BS Success Path, and right there in the center of the page is a button that says workbook and worksheets. So you click that button. And you scroll down just a little bit, and the worksheets can be printed individually from that page. Okay? Let's see. I think that's everything. Now everybody's trying to help Denise. Yeah, Missy's comments were in the Q&A. They need to sell a huge pad of recovery worksheets, like those pink phone message pads. Yes, that's actually a pretty good idea. You can probably take them to like Office Depot or Kinko's or someplace like that and have a pad made. You know, I often think about Jennifer Saya, who at one point, and I'm sure it's more than that now, or I don't know that I'm sure, but she's so faithful at it. She had done more than 300 of those things, and she had them stacked in her kitchen. And what better way to assess than to go back and look through your recovery worksheets, right? You find all the thoughts that triggered you. You find the types of foods you overeat. You find the excuses, right? You know, you start looking for those trends. That's what makes assessment so powerful. Is that you figure out over time, you know, what's really triggering you to go off plan. So she's done, and by the way, Jennifer's lost more than 90 pounds. So, you know, there's got to be something to those recovery sheets, right? All right. Is there anything else you guys want to talk about with regard to this? As you can tell, I really love the topic of assessments. I love data. And I think for me personally, having all that data is just a beautiful way to up level. I plan every week and I take my 24-hour plans off the weekly plan and I save the weekly plans where I've lost weight. So for instance, I know that if I eat, if I make homemade chicken salad and have, what do I usually have with that? Like a small side salad, cucumbers. I love cucumbers and tomatoes together. If I have that for lunch, you know, that's a successful lunch for me. In fact, I might plan that for next week because I love chicken salad. So if I know even which weeks I've lost weight using what weekly plan, you know, who doesn't love stuff like that, right? Question. I'm super good at learning and assessing, but putting it into massive action is where I lose it. Why? If you know what you're supposed to do, why don't you just do it? That's all you got to do. Just do it, right? Don't make it some big, hairy, you know, there must be something wrong with me problem. Just move into action. What's that first thing that you can do? That's all it takes. You know, once you make that first step into action, you can just keep moving into action, right? Then you take the second step. Kelly says, it's been so helpful. Someone shared a spreadsheet they created in Facebook group to score themselves each day. I did something similar when I started doing it. Lots of data. It's helpful when I'm stalled. I can verify I'm doing what I need to do. Yeah. Yeah. You know, giving yourself a grade is okay as long as you don't make it mean something bad about yourself. You know, if you assess your day on a scale of 1 to 10 and you get an 8, write down why it's an 8. If you assess it and you get a 3, write down why it's a 3, but write it down from the perspective of data gathering. Think about this. If it's a 3, what reasons are there behind the 3? And it's not because I'm a terrible person and I overate all day. That's not helpful. Okay, so you got to stay away from the shame train and you have to be really analytical about it. Well, I ate a Twix bar at 3 o'clock and some Cheetos at 4. You know, maybe those weren't, you know, the best choices, right? Maybe I need to up level that and just have an apple tomorrow. Or maybe I just need to have the Twix bar and not the Cheetos. See what I'm saying? Look at it we call it clean space. You know, as a coach, I can look at your plan without judgment. I can look at it as data. That's how you need to look at your plan. Shame train. Yes, just move to the next action, Christine. Anything else, you guys? Anything else? Missy says, I can't imagine naturally thin people having these conversations. Missy, maybe they do. Maybe that's why they're thin. You know, what does naturally thin mean? Right? All right, you guys. So if there's nothing else, I am going to let you go for tonight. I hope this was helpful. As you can tell, I've said it before, I super duper love assessing. I love this topic. I think it's probably one of the most important things you can do as long as you do it from a non-judgmental space. Okay? All right. Thanks for playing, guys. I enjoyed the chat and I enjoyed all the interaction. Hope you have a great rest of your day. All right? See ya. Bye, everybody.